Riverbend at this point is roughly halfway over.
Is that all?
Jeff looking remarkably spry considering that.
Yeah, sleep is a wonder drug.
I wonder where you found that sun this past weekend.
Yeah, it popped out here and there. It wasn't always gray or rainy, and then of course you're not used to it. You don't have any sunscreen on, so I caught a little bit. Some of it could just be blood pressure too.
Could be. Yeah, it's been a kind of blood pressure weekend for you this first weekend of the festival, huh?
Always is. Go ahead.
Well, the question I ended up coming down on was, are you going to start rating the stages? Is that one way for you to do it, to just say to people, look, this is going to be an adult stage?
I suggested that actually years ago. We very consciously started booking bands that we knew would be adult, content. It actually began, I can tell you exactly when it began, when we put Southern Culture on the skids down at what used to be the Bud Tent down under the old Jotty. It was the third stage at the time. And we just talked about the fact, well, it was late enough. It was in a tent, gave you more of a closed-in feeling. Kids weren't going to be running in and out. And it's a Budweiser, a beer company. Maybe it ought to just speak for itself. I said, why don't we just put a little skull and crossbones, something on there that says this is going to be an adult, show. If your kids, we'll bring your kids in, come on, but don't complain. And they never liked that idea. The year after that, we had Man or Astro Man, not quite as pushy, but then we had another group. I cannot remember what they called themselves, but it was a group of very open lesbians. They rocked hard, and at one point they were literally shouting, show us your boobs, show us your boobs. And I remember I was somewhere else, but I just remember hearing the two ways go off. And so, I don't know, but since then, remember we had Mastodon down there. I mean, we had Mastodon at that tent. So
the issue is the Coke stage.
Yeah, right? I think
the Coke stage is supposed to that's be the one. G-rated,
that's,
is that it?
That's the one that is supposed to be kind of a household name going in and family friendly. And Kid Rock, that was a big deal. We paid, at the time, the most money ever for him. And I think it had been explained and everything was okay. And I'm serious. I told them, don't tell him not to. Don't. And they did. Right before he went on stage, somebody said, now, blah, 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 family on it. And of course, he just walked out and went, guess what? They just told me. And that just, so he just cranked it up. You just can't do that. With CeeLo, obviously, we're talking about the show. And the funny thing is I was there for the first part of it. And I thought the unforgivable sin is the late start. You can't do that. You just can't do that. It used to be able to. You can't anymore. Not at this festival anyway. People are standing there in the street in the heat for an hour, and then he comes out and expects to get love. He had them mad to begin with, but then he came out just roaring. The first three songs were killer. Just bam, 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 bam. I was going, man, this is going to be a great show. And then he just kind of let the air out of the ball. But it was even then people were going, man, you're going to hear about that tomorrow. What? I honestly was not hearing it. I was not hearing it. Maybe I'm just that jaded. Maybe I'm just used to being around sailor language. But I didn't hear it. Clearly, it must have gotten worse after I left. I did go on to one of the smaller stages. And it must have been more clear. But, there was something in that audio mix, the quality of his voice. It just wasn't popping off to me like it did with the young rapper that jumped up with P-Funk. That was pretty clear what he was saying.
So you would seem to have a generational issue.
Yes,
it seems as if people under 35 anyway.
That's what they
doesn't faze them.
It's because they know him as a musician,
as a
singer, and they know what he did.
And they don't pay attention to
the older folks. Wanted to come down and see this CeeLo, the TV star, the friendly, lovable TV star. I said, the folks who don't remember that George Foreman, before he sold grills, was a killer. He was a monster. He had literally just almost killed people in the ring, and Ali didn't want to get in the ring with him. And now look at him, Ozzy Osbourne, Prince of Darkness, and, then just becomes a buffoon. And I don't think people really understood. And in this point, it was in the contract. It was explicitly laid out. Don't do that. And I think he got there late. He got him a big buzz going, and then he started getting frustrated with the lack of feedback. and understand. If he'd been there on time, he could have seen what it was like. He got there, went straight to the stage, and you've been on that stage. You can't see anything. You're blinded. Mm. You're looking into a void. What you can see is the street and the people walking by on Vendor's Row, and they don't. The people you see aren't looking at you. You don't see the people below. You're just up there, you know, and you can't hear the cheers unless they're just deafening, and they weren't deafening. You know, they really weren't. And then you start getting to the point where you start chiding the crowd. That's a lose-lose situation. Right there.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. You've lost.
Yeah. I mean, we just felt, we felt like it was the ultimate, you know, crossover act. We were 100% sure. And also, I do think that people have overreacted. Again, was there anybody really surprised that he might have been a little bit on the edgy side? I mean,
it does beg the question, given that his big hit contained language you couldn't even play on the radio.
Exactly. I mean, come on. It's just like going into a strip bar and paying a $15 cover charge to go into a place called the Mouse's Ear, and they go, hey, I thought I was just walking into a buffet. I thought it was Ryan's. You know, come on now. So a little bit too much complaining. I think some of the folks overreacted too much on our side, too. But, it doesn't bode well for cutting-edge acts, to be honest with you.
Which is the fear, particularly on the part of young music fans, because that's what they are looking to Riverbend to do.
Sure. And, and again, it isn't is a black-white thing. Look at the very next night, you got Brandy, and Wholesome and Clean, and again, not a huge crowd. Rain didn't help. Probably hurt her more than anybody. But it's not. It's a generational thing. It's a culture thing. Again, TV versus radio, and I don't know how you fix that. And there will be bands. Will Skinner let a F bomb loose? I don't think so. But a bunch of bands from that era would. Remember that FM classic FM big 100,000 watt heritage classic rock stations play songs all the time with the words in the lyrics. They don't edit them out. They're just part of the wallpaper now, you know.
Interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
The good news is, for everybody planning to go, as far as I can see, from Wednesday on,
sunshine.
And
cooler temperatures than we've been used to. So,
no rain.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
I think it's going to be a good, strong, wrap up. I mean, if you count 4 days as a wrap up, that's a long wrap up. But yeah, I really do. I think Dierks Bentley, I've seen him twice. Again, I'm not the biggest country fan, but he puts on a great show. So I think that's right off the bat, that's going to be strong.
And you have you have an interesting lineup on the Unum stage.
Yeah, international night.
I've met Beppe.
Yes.
And interviewed him a couple of times, using the term interviewed rather loosely, because Beppe's English is okay.
You're being kind.
His wife's English is better.
Yes.
But man, he's a brilliant guitarist.
Yeah, his skills are unmatched. I had him in the studio as well, and we've got him down mistakenly as being French. He's actually from Genoa, Italy. Mm. But
and makes his own guitars, I think.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And nicest guy in the world. But yeah, he has a style that I've not quite ever heard before, to be honest with you. So that's going to be interesting. And of course, then we jump over to Australia with
Harper
and Midwest Kind. And yeah, you explained to me where Midwest Kind comes from. Midwest Kind, I know what that means. I don't know how he hooked up with that name, and then we end up with Civil Twilight, which is an indie rock band out of South Africa, Cape Town. So
interesting.
Hopefully we have.
Well, Harper's a heck of a harmonica player.
Yes, he is.
And I think we've got some Harper queued
up.
We do.
As a matter of fact,
if you've never heard Harper, this is Harper.
Didgeridoo.
To another place. This is my body. This is my face.
Dennis Harper. He's on the Unum stage tonight at 8 o'clock with his band Midwest Kind. Nobody quite sure why they're called that. I guess you'll find out.
We'll ask.
At the Tennessee Valley Credit Union stage, talking about good guitar players. Yeah, that's a conflict for me. Lon Eldridge.
Yes.
I would be torn between Beppe and Lon because they're both so good.
I don't get in the way of Bob Payne and his booking of the local and regional bands. He does such a good job, but I asked for three. Asked for three this time, and Lon was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that taught me the little bit that I was able to learn on the dobro. I will pick it up and learn how to play the dobro one day. You know, it just won't be today. But he's a remarkably talented young man, and he has great vision.
The first time I met him, I mean, he couldn't have been much more than 20.
Yeah.
And he already had the affect and the feel of a man three times his age.
He can hand him the didgeridoo and he'll figure out how to play it within two minutes. He'll have it mastered.
With feel. Yeah. Excellent. Definitely recommend it. Lon Eldridge, that's at 6:15 tonight on the Tennessee Valley Credit Union stage, followed by Lisa Marie Fischer.
She is, we'll kind of keep the international thing going, she is the German Taylor Swift. She is young, she's beautiful, she's blonde, she sings American country music with perfect English. I don't understand how it is that people can sing without an accent, but they speak with a heavy one. I mean, she's from Frankfurt, a huge city. She's a big city girl, but she loves American country music. And she has the lyrics, she has the chops, she has the look, she's got the voice, she's got it all. And you would never know when she's singing. As soon as she starts talking, she struggles. She does. And she's making a home in Nashville for the time being. But I have a feeling she'll go big. And there's no reason for her not to. And, of course, they love country music over there. So even if she doesn't go big here, just the fact that she's living in Nashville would just help her reputation there.
Yeah, you know it. Give her credibility.
We'd expect to see a lot of Volkswagen folks out there.
Oh, I bet. And Roger Allen Wade is on that stage, too, following Lisa Marie. Huh?
And he is as good, if not better, than he's ever been. I mean, he really is, since his life kind of changed around a few years ago, he's just gotten better and better and better.
You have a Volkswagen stage this year,
yep.
Talking about Volkswagen. Southlander are on that stage at 6 o'clock.
And they're a wonderful band. And I'll jump right in there. This Michael Martin band, if you folks are not familiar with Michael Martin, you really need to check it out. I mean, everybody, unless you just set up camp, and some people do, you know, I wander. I know you do. This is one of those that the Volkswagen stage is one of those that I just go by and I usually make note of things. And I say, well, that was really good, or I don't know if I'd have done that. This is one of those, it'll be a destination point.
So how is it for you as you're walking around? What are you thinking?
I
mean,
don't make eye contact. Go the other way. Dodge, duck, act like you didn't hear your name, because I'll never get anywhere otherwise.
And you're watching people, and you must have mixed response, right? Some people are maybe better than you thought they were going to be.
Oh, always.
Different than you thought they were going to be.
Always. A great example was, went down to see the Sundogs after the Revival played Benji Shanks, that great slide player that they got. What a killer set that was. He plays with the Sundogs, and everything I had from them sounded very twangy, very country-based. There was nothing country about that show. They tore it up. As a matter of fact, I walked the secret little, floating sidewalk down there and came up the steps, and they were playing Miss You by the Rolling Stones. That was the first thing I heard. I went up, made my way around the very back of the amphitheater, the Maurice Martin Amphitheater, saw Jonathan Sussman, talked to him, went down, talked to another person, saw a buddy of mine, went down and sat with him. They were still playing Miss You, the long jam band version of Miss You by the Rolling Stones. That was not what I was looking for, but I certainly enjoyed it.
Cool. And then the Bud Light stage is the Matt Chauncey band.
Yep.
And that's an early set again, 5 o'clock.
That's actually, you jumped over to Thursday. Pat Babb, who's played several times before, and he does a wonderful job. He's also played at Riverfront Nights as an opener. And the Railers, that is a bunch of musicians, three in particular, that all have their own incredible... what's the word I'm looking for here? Pedigree, musical pedigree. And they come from big Nashville acts. They've been studio musicians that have played with the biggest names you can think of. And they labored for a while under the name Tin Cup Gypsy. And I think that just didn't work for them. So they changed their name to the Railers and immediately got a record deal. And I think this is going to be the one for them. They'll be out there now. And they've got, each one's got reputations. They've got backing. And I think the Railers will be your next Florida Georgia Line.
Interesting. And the Psychedelic Furs, who knew?
I was so proud and tickled to find that they were out there and they were available and they were affordable for us for the Bud Light stage. I'm a huge fan. I mean, during that era of music, I thought the Psychedelic Furs did what was being done by so many. I mean, it was really coming. It was the second, you know, British invasion. You know, U2 had come in, and suddenly everywhere you looked, there was a big country over here, and it was just, even though they were whatever, Scottish, it was just everywhere. There were these bands, and the Depeche Modes started picking up. But I thought the Furs did that post-punk thing so well, and they were serious, and without being mopey. They weren't shoegazing music, you know. They were, even though they were singing about dark subjects. And remember, their big pop song, Pretty in Pink, that was about a girl being naked, all right? Keep that in mind. That was not about Molly Ringwald in a sweater. That was about a girl being naked. So keep that in mind when they're singing.
I wonder how they feel about John Hughes these days. The Psychedelic Furs are on the Bud Light stage, starting at 7:45.
Yep. And one of theirs that I love that I didn't think got enough airplay is this one coming up right now.